Well, good morning and welcome to the Raider Wrap right here at 95.1 The One KYMN. It is 10 bells on a Saturday, sixth day of May already, if you can believe that. I hope you had a great Cinco de Mayo. Today looks like we're going to have a bunch of showers. If you like rain, you're going to love this week. And I know the track coach is not going to appreciate what I'm about to say, but it's going to rain all week long. So a lot of indoor practices, perhaps. Showers and thunderstorms expected throughout the rest of today. 40% chance of showers this afternoon. High of only around 67 with mostly cloudy skies. Tonight looks like showers and thunderstorms, mainly before the overnight, and then cooling out to around 56 with about an 80% chance of precipitation, a half inch possible throughout the rest of this evening. For tomorrow, slight chance of showers, and then maybe even some thunderstorms, partly sunny with a high of 75. And then for Sunday night, it looks like about a 50-50 chance of showers or thunderstorms, cooling off to 54. Monday, showers and thunderstorms, a high of near 70, so it's going to be kind of muggy out there. Monday night continued with a chance of showers, cooling off to 53. Tuesday, again, a slight chance of some showers, then a little bit of sunshine, a high of 69, and then more rain coming into Tuesday and or Wednesday. Wednesday mostly sunny, a high of 73, but a slight chance of some precipitation. But we've got overcast skies currently in the Northfield area this morning. And, the rain kind of takes you out of your game a little bit. But because of it, I'm hoping maybe that's why Janet Smith is the head coach of the track team here, is in the studio this morning. Was it rain or you just had nothing else to do today?
No, we don't do anything for track season. We just sit on our butts all day.
Right? No. So you were going to have an event this morning. And I think that's more of the reason why you're in the studio this morning. But you're going to have a little juniors program or something like that. Explain a little bit about what that is.
Yeah, we were looking to have a little Raider camp today through Community Ed. And with the rain coming and just a little bit of low enrollment, we had to cancel that event. So we're going to do a barbecue fundraiser this week instead and have some free will donations to replace that fundraiser opportunity that we lost out on today. So,
is there another one next week? Didn't you have it scheduled for like 2 weeks?
It was 2 weeks in a row, but because, again, it was kind of a combo 2 week deal, we'll just do that cookout as our fundraiser instead. But hopefully maybe next year we can give it another try and see if we can get those future Raiders out on the track on a Saturday in May.
What are you planning, a certain day this week for that barbecue?
Yeah, that's going to be on Friday. It'll be a good Friday thing to look forward to after practice. So we have true team sections coming up on Tuesday this week.
Right.
So we're excited about that.
And yeah, because you were just, I believe it was Rochester Mayo.
Yeah, we were at Mayo this past week, and our times keep dropping, and we had a great showing there. It was a little windy that day, but it was actually the wind was at the sprinter's backs, so we had some fast 100s, fast 200s, seeing some times drop, and always kind of fun time of the season to see people, getting down into the realm of where they are headed towards their goals.
That was interesting that you had 7 lifetime best, 29 season best, and then this is the... If you can believe, this is the midpoint of the season.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was a late spring. You couldn't even get outside. Mm-hmm. Now you're at the midpoint, and it says this kind of helps you decide how the lineup for that true team. So explain how that true team works and what you're trying to look at.
Yeah, so true team is a really unique thing. I think Minnesota is one of the unique states that does it, where every single person who participates earns a point for their team. So if we have 30 participants in the mile, first place earns 30 points and last place all the way down to 1 point. So you earn as many points as you can towards your true team. It shows the depth of your team. It shows your stars. You know, if you can have a lot of stars in certain events, we can score lots of points. So we have a tough section, though. I'm not going to lie. We have the Farmington, Lakeville North, Lakeville South, Mankato West, New Prague, Mayo again, Rochester John Marshall, Century, Owatonna. That is a stacked lineup right there.
Right. How about Mankato East?
Mankato East is in a different one.
Wow, so lucky for you.
Yeah, but and I love that we get to compete against these big schools, but we are excited. Next year we will be going down to double A instead of triple A. Not that that matters, because they have fast runners in double A too,
sure.
But we will be able to compete against some schools that are a little bit more our size. So,
well, and then that's the thing, right? So it's about enrollment and things of that nature. So that brings you down a little bit, but it does help you compete too.
Absolutely, because you rise to the occasion when you're up against those competitive athletes. I mean, we have we have kiddos on the boys and the girls side that could potentially go to state, and this gives them an opportunity to run against the athletes that are going to be at the state meet with them. So
So it looks like you had Amber Mahal took first place in the high jump. So that was a lifetime best.
Yeah, she had a lifetime best. She got up to 5 foot, which puts her kind of in the top 10 of the section. High jump and pole vault, and those are a little different because everybody's tied at 5 foot. Right. But it gives her in the realm of looking at podiuming at True Team and potentially then at sections. And you just never know. You have a great day. You jump a little higher than the next gal. And here you are. You're on the way to the state meet. So
she doing the Fosbury flop, or what is she doing?
I don't know. I'm not the high jump coach.
You're not. Well, you're the head coach, aren't you?
I am. But I'm a distance expert.
Oh, so okay. So you just dispatch that.
Yes, I dispatch that to all my talented assistants.
So, and then you had a couple of nice second place finishes and some, you know, some, it looks like Mankato East, though, pretty much dominated that tournament, though.
They're pretty strong. They definitely have a lot of great athletes all throughout the events. Another highlight was one of our distance gals, Addison Enfield. She got down to 5:30 in the mile, and for her, that was a huge PR. She's just starting to show her potential. She is all the way down to 400s, all the way up to the 2 mile. She is competitive in all those races. So that was exciting to see. We had a couple of girls out with sickness, and they were back in the lineup. So that was really exciting that they're getting their times down to in the mile and the 800. So
that is judging the True Team. So when it says you need to kind of decide on the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got how many? 71 people participating?
Yeah, we have 71 girls out this season, which is amazing. Super exciting to see those numbers.
So now, are they all going to play in? Are they all going to be in there?
Nope. So we only get to pick three in each event.
Oh.
So we'll pick our top three in each event. But it ends up maybe not even being your top three in each event because you have to play the game. Like, okay, if I load up the 200 with my top three, but then I have to, you know, use other kids in the 4x2, and I have to use also those same fast kids in the 4x1, and you don't want to spread them too thin and have three or four events, because if they're also in a field event, you're going to have to pick and choose and have them just participate in two or three events and still go into your lineup to get your best athletes out into those relays and into your opens events and just try to score the best you can in all those things.
Well, that's coming up on Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you got your lineup ready?
Yeah, it's ready.
You do have it.
It had to be in by last Thursday. We have a deadline, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's craziness, right? So you got it in. So who are your hopefuls for True Team?
Yeah.
Or what do you got lined up here?
Well, we have two of our captains are doing great in the 100. Reagan Childress, senior. She's got her time in the upper 13 seconds, but had a couple personal bests already this season. She's getting it down there. Greta Gilmore's looking great as a sprinter. We've got some young, exciting athletes. Ruthie Lippert, ninth grader. She's our second 100 meter runner right now. Elsa Peterson, an eighth grader, second best 200 meter runner right now on our roster. Tegan Maddow, she's our best 200 and 400 meter runner, and she's in the high jump.
Okay.
Like you already mentioned, Amber Mahal doing great in the high jump, the long jump. Some surprise athletes came out, like Kat Oregon. She came out from basketball. She's out for track for the first time. She's going to be a contributor in our 4x2, our 4x4. We're just looking at some really, really awesome kids who are coming out working hard and seeing what we're going to do. We have pole vaulters doing great, too. I can't mention enough, right? Pole vaulters.
Well, you got 71.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Pole vaulters doing great. We've got, you know, gymnastic athletes out. We have a swimmer, Nora Cordham, who's trying pole vault for the first time, and she's one of our top three pole vaulters. Our throwers, probably our strongest thrower is Inga Johnson. She's a junior. But we have a 10th grader who just came out who is also, she's our best in the disc, Elena French. So a lot of exciting athletes who are out for the first time.
Is this a good number, 71? Is that an average number? Is that high?
It's about 10 more than we had last year.
Okay.
When they won the conference before I was the head coach back in 2018, I think they had like 80. So, you know, it kind of goes up and down between the 60s and the 80s. So 71 is great. Of our 71, 20 of our girls are throwers. So that's kind of unique. Wow. We're pretty heavy on the throwing side right now. But other than that, I mean, it's pretty spread out with athletes and all the things. So
you said you are obviously a distance. You said you're got up this morning and ran 13 miles because your board is stiff or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're at distance. But then how much do you get involved with all of the throwing and the field events and stuff like that? Or do you delegate it? I mean, literally delegate.
You have to delegate. I mean, as a head coach, you can't coach it all. You have lots of assistants, right? You have your long jump, triple jumps coach, who's actually the boys' head coach, Tyler Balow, does the horizontal jumps. Our sprint coach, Tom Dickerson, he works with the high jumpers and the sprinters. We have kind of a specific relay coach, Sean O'Brien, who's part-time. So he comes out the day before a meet and at the meets and focuses on the relays. We got Tim Larson, who does the throws. So we have to spread it out. Kyle Carinta does the hurdling.
I have to talk with them. I text with them. I mean, so is it boys? Tyler Balow is right. Obviously the head boys coach.
Yeah, he's
coach.
The head boys coach, but he coaches all long jumpers and triple jumpers,
girls
boys and girls.
Boys.
And
matter.
I coach the distance kids, boys and girls.
Got it.
So it's a combined program, and we, you know, train at different levels, of course, for the needs of the athletes. So, like, I have a four-tiered distance program. So we have, like, the low mileage, 800 and milers. They do a plan. The high mileage 800 and 1600 runners do a plan, and then the low mileage 2 milers do a plan, and the high mileage 2 milers do a plan. And so every kid has a plan that they stick to throughout the season for their mileage volume and, you know, their speed, endurance, and interval workouts and things. So it's quite complicated. I mean, we put a lot of time into all of those things, and then you balance, I got a distance athlete in the triple jump, so certain days they have to go to that instead of coming to one of my recovery runs. And so it's a big puzzle. It's fun for I'm a math teacher, so fun for us math teachers to put those puzzles together each week in the lineup and work with all the athletes and coaches. And yeah,
so it's kind of interesting that the boys and the girls practice, you know, together, which mm-hmm. is I guess it's kind of good too, because then the social interaction there is good,
mm-hmm.
and then you can also kind of see the different athletes and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and kind of like you say with the cross training of different expertise and stuff like that. So I know that Tyler was in, I think it was last week, that he was in talking about the boys team and whatnot. So interesting that you get to do the whole thing. So you work with Evan Lowell,
yep,
one
absolutely.
Of our guys
yep.
that are in here that does the Raider Rapper, and he does our Meet the Raider.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Liz Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them are on the team, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you get to coach both of them, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and you know, as you know, I coach the boys' head cross-country team in the fall, so I get to continue working with those athletes in the spring along with the girl distance runners as well. So it's really good for the cross-country program to have that consistency,
sure.
you know, throughout the year, and we just all keep our hands in their training and keep them going with their goals. And
so what's the difference between cross country coaching and long distance track coaching? Is there anything?
Yeah, I mean, the lineups are way more complicated, but definitely I think you're more working more on your speed, and it's nice when you're coaching track because you're right there on the track, you're seeing every interval, like yelling out the split paces. And when you're doing cross country, you do the same thing, but it's more spread out, more ability levels, wide range, and you aren't able to pinpoint every single kid's pace as much as you can during track. It's kind of like the difference between, you know, if you're a swimmer, the coach gets to see you in your lanes and watch you swim the whole time. That's how it is like track. You're on the track and you watch the whole race, but you don't get to see the whole race during cross country because they're running around a golf course,
right.
and you don't get to yell at them when you see them slowing down. But on the track, it's a little bit, you can't hide out, you
right?
know?
Yeah,
so.
You can't hide out, exactly. Get moving already, come on! So yeah, we got True Team, you said, on Tuesday.
Yep.
And then after True Team, I mean, okay, you're midway through. What's after that then? A couple more meets and then bam, into sectionals?
Yeah. So the week after True Team, we do a JV relay meet at New Prague, which is really fun. I just was working on the lineup for that last night. They just do relays only, except a few, like the field events are individual still, but then they combine their scores to make a relay. So it's scored, everything's scored as a relay. So that's a fun opportunity for our JV athletes since they don't get to participate at True Team. So that's the following Monday. And then our last Big Nine Triangular is that Thursday in Red Wing. And then the following week is JV Big Nine, Varsity Big Nine, and the following week is sections already.
Wow.
So we only have 4 weeks left of the season.
And then, so as you look at your team this year, Do you see any high hopes for, like, maybe state participants? Or?
Yeah, I mean, we have a young team, but a strong team. Right now, Emily Beham's looking really good in the hurdles. She doesn't have her times down to where she wants, but she was a podium finisher last year, and possible state hopeful. We've got, you never know with Addison Enfield in that mile or 800, Josie Houck. She's a junior, but a captain this year. Her 800 times down there, pretty good. She might make it. Maybe we can put together a relay in the 4x8, something. Not sure. Oh, Amber Mahal in the high jump, long jump, things. Who knows? You just never know. So, we got a lot of podium finishers right now. I'm not sure if we're going to get into that top two, top three realm where we might make it to the state meet in some of those individual events. We'll just have to wait and see.
But you did say they're young. So, yeah. If it's not this year, there's probably great potential.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the years to come as well. So.
The boys 4x8 has gone to state the last 2 years, as you know, possibly looking at a third trip, maybe on the boys side, which is, I coach the distance kids, so I can talk about them too. Even though I'm the girls head coach.
I coach that team that's made it to state.
And two years ago, the girls 4x8 went too. So we have a good history of that relay in recent years. We'll just never know. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. You got to run the meet. See what happens. So, well, we appreciate you coming in this morning.
Absolutely.
Barbecue is on Friday. This is a fundraiser for the track team, right?
Yep.
So where is it at?
I think we're going to host it just right over by Tyler Park. It's at little Purple Park behind Bridgewater, close to the track, and we'll grill out over there. So right after practice, we can pop over and kids can contribute a little cash donation and have a little fun at the same time.
Can people come to this or no?
I mean, we're probably going to have enough food for the team. As you know, we have 70 girls and 90 boys.
Oh,
so
wow.
We have to prepare for 160 athletes. But, you can pop over and donate some money.
Well,
that'd be great.
I was going to say, how about if mom and dad, come over at the end of track practice? I mean, it's going to be right around 5:36, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, 5:30. So
it's dinner time.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
What are you going to have? You know what you're going to have?
We'll probably just do something easy, hot dogs.
Burgers and hot dogs?
Yeah, little hot dogs, chips.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but hopefully. Let's take a...
Yeah, what's the weather again for Friday?
Ooh, it's a coin flip of whether it's going to have showers or thunderstorms or partly sunny skies in 76.
All right. Well, let's shoot for partly sunny.
Partly sunny in 76 it is. That is
awesome.
Going to be... Thank you so much, Janet.
You're welcome.
Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's doing okay. It's a little raspy still, but...
At least you could talk.
Yeah.
And so that's great. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Janet Smith, head coach of the girls track team, joins us this morning. Coming up, it'll be Jeff Wright with the boys lacrosse team. We'll get him on the phone here shortly. And we have more of the Raider Rap coming up on 95.1 The One.
This is Paul Ryland from Johnson Ryland Homes. When you're considering a new home, you might want to take a look at the new development that's been extremely popular for its picturesque views and also custom single-family homes. This development is Pete's Hill, where woods and wetlands meet at the highest point in Scott County. Positioned in Elko, the new development has large single-family homes and twin homes. Stop by and check out your new home.
Hit our website today, jrbr.builders. Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom-built homes meet your budget and your dreams.
Fall is a great time to get that landscaping project, home remodel, or repair done, and with interest rates still low, you can do it all with a home loan from Hometown Credit Union. Hometown Credit Union offers a variety of home loan options for refinancing, renovating, new construction, and purchasing your first home or forever home. Whatever your home loan needs are, Hometown Credit Union can make them happen with rates and terms to fit. Learn more and apply online at hometowncu.coop. Equal housing lender. From the team at Hometown Credit Union, go Raiders!
The man, the yellow van, called Service Master.
Water or fire damage? The experts at Service Master by Iatt provide peace of mind when disaster strikes your home or business. Don't know what to do next? We do. Demand the yellow van and call Service Master by Iatt today.
A health savings account from Community Resource Bank can help you save money on medical expenses when using a health plan. An HSA offers the return of a savings account with the convenience of checking, all while earning a competitive interest rate. Stop by one of our locations or visit crb.bank to learn more. Community Resource Bank, let's bank together. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Connects Nurseries and Landscaping in Northfield is your all-in-one garden center. Come and browse thousands of trees, shrubs, perennials, and annuals, as well as a variety of soil, mulch,
and
rock.
Bring it to you.
Connects knowledgeable staff are here to help you with your next project. Check us out at connects.net. That's KNECHTS.net, where plants and people connect.
And we're back. It's about 21 after 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Plenty of clouds out there, that's for sure. And it looks like we're going to remain cloudy and overcast for the next several days. Currently cloudy and 56 this morning. Thanks to Janet Smith, who joined us this morning. Girls track coach. Ran a little long, apparently. But, hey, when she gets her voice back, she likes to talk. And we appreciate her being in here. Still to come, we got Evan Lowe and Liz Campbell. They're going to have the ultimate Frisbee captain, Luke Radetzky. He'll be on, and Liz Campbell will get you up to date with all the fun that's going on with the Raiders scoreboard. And joining me this morning is, of course, the head coach of the boys lacrosse team, Jeff Wright. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. I know that you're up, I think you're up in Apple Valley, aren't you?
You know, with weather, we decided to stay back from the zoo this morning, so we're hanging around here in Dundas.
Okay, so there's no splashing of the dolphins or any of that fun stuff going on today, huh?
There's not. Nope, postponed.
What do you? So, did you have a practice, or did they have any practices today?
You know, we didn't. We were supposed to play last night down in Rochester. We got through halfway through our warm ups, and then lightning started to make its way over the field. So we delayed for quite a while, and then we ended up postponing the game.
Which is probably a wise idea, needless to say. Your last trip, it looks like, against Owatonna? You got your victory over Owatonna back in April, and we're already into May, and you're already halfway through your season. How's things looking up? It looks like you've got just that one victory.
Yeah, it's been a different season for us, for sure, losing a lot of very talented seniors, about 80% of our offense. So it's a new-look team. You know, we did get our first victory, which felt really good, last week against Owatonna, which is always a good team to get W against. But, you know, we're learning, we're growing. We've been battling injuries throughout the entire month of April. And so just trying to, you know, come into our own and find a groove.
So I had Lexi Halverson on last week, and it's, of course, she's the new head coach of the girls lacrosse team. She was talking about different types of protocols in the women's sport, about physicality and things like that. Is that the same for boys? Have they switched the game up a little bit for the boys as well, or is it pretty much status quo?
Yeah, I mean, we have a much different game than the girls. Obviously, we do have contact, but over the last number of years, they've really focused on that emphasis, and they've really been, you know, mindful of the contact, and they've got a thing called defenseless hits, and so that's been a thing for both of, you know, for us and against us, just again watching head contact and just, you know, watching for guys, you know, blowing somebody else up per se. So I mean, they're really trying to harness the body contact as much as they can, but again, it is part of the sport.
I gotta believe that a lot of it has to do with concussion protocol too, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yep. I would agree.
Yeah. So I mean, you want to make sure if you are making contact, that you kind of stay away from that upper body and the upper head and things
Correct.
Like that. Looks like you got some. You got a couple of guys contributing. Looks like George Peterson and Blake Foster seem to be able to put it in the net a little bit. Talk about their development of this year's team. Like you said, you got a lot of people that moved away and moved on. So how is the development of the team taking place this year?
Yeah, for sure. You know, Blake, senior captain for us, and, you know, he came on the scene last year, made a big splash with some strong seniors around him. And so we knew that it would be the offense that he had to put on his shoulders this year with a number of other contributors who were returning, George being one of them, as a freshman. So we've got a senior and a freshman leading the way for us. And, you know, early on, it was just a struggle for us to score goals. Again, trying to figure out after losing so many players on our offense, how do we spread the ball out? And again, just a lot of jitters and early season turnovers. And so the two of them have done a really great job. You know, Cam Melgren has been a grinder for us all season long as well, going up and down the field and taking faceoffs, playing man up and man down. And so, you know, he has 7 goals on the season in 6 games, which is very steady. We've been without junior attackman Cam Waters for 3 games, and so he made his comeback after a quad injury against Owatonna. So he had 4 goals against those guys, and so we're excited about having him back for sure. He just adds so much depth for us, and so between the 4 of those guys, you know, we're hoping that they contribute a little bit more than what we've seen in the first 5 games. And then we also lost freshman midfielder Bridger Riley to a broken wrist several weeks ago down in Mankato. And so that's a big loss for our offense and our defense. He's a two-way midfielder for us.
Is Riley expected to get back on or no?
Nope. No, he's in a cast for a number of weeks, and then he'll have, you know, some PT work. So unfortunately, he's done for the season.
Ah, bummer. That's too bad. So looking ahead here. You've got, so it looks like Mankato coming up on Tuesday. That game that you had last night, is that getting rescheduled or did that just get canceled?
No, we're aiming for the 12th of this month. And so that'll be, you know, Friday night under the lights against Century down in Rochester. And so they were pretty jazzed to beat us at home, as that's not been the case for them. I can't even tell you how long it's been since they've taken a victory over the Raiders. And so they were more than okay with delaying that game last night.
But next week you're going to go Tuesday, Thursday, then Friday, then back to Tuesday, Thursday. So you got a lot of games coming up here. What do you do for that? Do you change the roster around a little bit so that people get some more playing time, or how are you going to work through all those games?
Well, you know, we started the season with 4 games in 7 days, and so our season is so condensed. And, you know, it's really just keeping bodies fresh and just keeping our guys, you know, quote unquote, in the game, you know, mentally and obviously physically. But yeah, I mean, this coming week is a big week for us. We play the number 1 and 2 team in the conference, both of which we've lost to. You know, on Tuesday, Mankato's the team that they grind. I wouldn't say they have any superstars per se, but they gel really well together. I would say that's also a game for us down there in Mankato that we just didn't play well. Again, we were without some players. And so we're looking forward to playing them again. We think that that'll be a different outcome. And then come Thursday, you know, we've got a very, very veteran team in Rochester Mayo who they've been building for this season, and they're a sound team, and you know, they've, you know, offensively they've got a lot of power, and so that was noticeable and on display when we played them last time. So both games should be really great. Tuesday night is our youth night, and so we're going to welcome in our Northfield Lacrosse youth players, and they're going to do a little halftime game, and then Thursday we recognize our seniors.
Very good. Sounds like a good time coming here. So, when you look at the your sections, I see you got Lakeville South on here. Are they going to be in your sections or?
They are. Yep.
So they are. So are you guys going to be dropping down a class next year too? Do the enrollment size?
No, lacrosse is still just 1 class.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yep.
So it's you against the world, so to speak. So.
Correct.
So when you and then so Thursday, May 25th, looks like you're going to wrap the season up against Egan, and then the following week, would that be then sections right away? And that following week,
yep.
So right after Memorial Day, then you'd go into the Correct. To the sections. Where does this? Do you know where the sections will be played, or will that be how you end up in the season?
Yeah. So I mean, we'll obviously playing. Playing Big Nine opponents twice, I mean, that's obviously a big consideration. This season and last season, we had a greater emphasis within our section that we would play the Lakevilles and Farmington to be able to really say, hey, well, head-to-head, we played, you know, against this team and this team, and this was the outcome. And so just to help for for the sake of rankings going into the section, the common opponents. And so we play both Lakeville North and Lakeville South this year. The only one we didn't play is Farmington. And so, you know, we'll be able to gauge, and I know Farmington's played a lot of Big Nine opponents, same with both of the Lakevilles. And so, yeah, I mean, coming into the section, I mean, it's at this point, it's kind of a crapshoot to kind of say who's going to go where. I would say, you know, Lakeville North and Farmington would most likely be 1 and 2. So I would, and then I guess from our conference perspective, you know, Mayo's in the driver's seat for that, that top seed, you know, maybe 2 or 3. So, but again, yeah, it's kind of anyone's game at this point.
Is there such a thing as home field advantage in lacrosse?
Absolutely.
There is.
Yep. I would say that for sure. You know, coming into sections last year, we had the high seed behind Farmington. We were at 2. Lakeville North came in at 3, and that was very uncommon for them to be as low as they were last year. And that's my former school in Lakeville North. And so, you know, to get them here on grass in the playoffs was something that we salivated over, and it was a big deal. I don't know that they had played on grass all season long. And so for what we have down here, you know, with a grass field compared to the entire South Suburban Conference up in the Twin Cities, they all have turf. And so for us, that was an advantage, and they were in our stadium, and it was a victory for us that knocked them out of state for the first time since 2014. So it was, I would say, yes, there is a home field advantage.
Well,
for sure.
You've got Tuesday, you got it at home, then you get Rochester Mayo at home, but then you go on the road to Rochester, Owatonna, Matamidi, Lakeville South, and it isn't until the end of the season that you get a shot at Egan here at home. So a long road trip coming up for the lacrosse team.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, Jeff Wright, head coach of the boys lacrosse team. Got the first victory, of course, against Owatonna. Yes, a big, big victory. Always a pleasure to whip up on Owatonna, isn't it?
Absolutely. You got it, Timmy.
All righty. Jeff, hey, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I'm not sure what you're up to the rest of the day, but enjoy what you can.
Hey, Jimmy, quick plug here.
Yes, sir.
For my defense in Ty Frank and Frank Mulling. We're hitting people up. So head to franksmowing.com if you need any lawn care needs here in Northfield, Bendis, and the surrounding areas.
Ty Frank, the lawn care specialist.
You got it.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon. That is, of course, head coach Jeff Wright from the boys lacrosse team. Still to come, we got Mel Miller on the program. We have got Mr. Radetzky. He'll be interviewed by Evan Lowe and Liz Campbell on Meet the Raider. And we got the sports highlights and all the fun activities on the scoreboard. Plenty to do, plenty to see, and plenty coming up right here on 95.1, the 1 KYMN.
The economic pulse of Northfield is beating, and your business is a part of it. Make sure you stay connected to that pulse with the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce. They can help you form the connections and partnerships that can take your business to the next level. Networking events are great opportunities to get your business in front of new people and to make strong connections with other Northfield area business owners. The Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce knows how important your business is to our community. Stay connected to the economic pulse of Northfield. Go to northfieldchamber.com, join, and take your business to the next level.
Dr. Michael Ritchie, Ritchie Eye and LASIK, we're swinging into spring. Spring is here and it's time to get outdoors. Hiking, biking, boating, walking, or running. Let's make this a spring free of glasses or contacts. Ritchie Eye and LASIK will help you swing into spring with up to $500 off all of our LASIK treatments.
Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, Faribault. World-class LASIK, small-town traffic. Ritchie Eye.
Hello.
Mel?
Yeah.
Good morning, sir. Jimmy, how you doing?
Good morning. Good.
You got a couple minutes?
Hold on just for a second.
69. Ready, go ahead and put that in. You took too long.
Oh, I took too long.
Had to wait till it turns color.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay. Fresh produce. And...
Wait,
It's the Ranger Cup.
All right. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
So we've got about 30 seconds left of the commercial, and we'll bring it back to the air, and we'll be ready to go.
Okay.
All righty.
Staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
And we're back on the Raider Wrap, 25 in front of 11 o'clock. Good morning. How's life treating you? It's doing well. It is the 6th day of May already, and it looks like we're going to be about 56 degrees here today. Might get up to around 67, but continue with cloudy skies, chance of rain. Tonight, some showers and thunderstorms likely, 80% chance. About a half an inch is possible for tonight. Tomorrow is going to be a slight chance, about a 30% chance of showers throughout the day. Otherwise, partly sunny and a high 75. We're at overcast skies and 56. And basically, it's still a good day to get out and golf. Isn't that right, Mel Miller?
Yes, it is. A very good day to get out and golf.
I mean, actually, it's kind of ideal because the winds are not that heavy. And, 60 degrees with overcast skies, you don't get sunburned. It's a beautiful day to go golfing. Every day is a good day to go golfing.
Yeah, anytime you're on the golf course, it's a great day.
It beats a day at work, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
So, Mel, of course, he is working today. That's why he's on the telephone with us, because he's out there in Willingers and checking people in. So we want to talk girls golf first and foremost, though. Let's talk about that. How's the team going? Didn't Emerson Garley go to state last year, if I'm mistaken?
Yeah, she did. Emerson qualified for state. She was one of the five individuals from Section 1. And then you had a team from Lakeville South. During the state tournament, Emerson actually finished 17th out of 88 players. So she had the best score of anybody from Section 1, including the kids from Lakeville South. So she did very well during that two-day tournament.
Well, that's fantastic. So this season just had to be an interesting grind to get things going because, we had snow halfway through April. How did you adapt to that? What did you do? What did you guys do to try to get yourself into shape and get into your best golf game?
Well, we opened up the season. The first week we were at the dome, so you're basically just hitting wedges. And then the second week was spring break. I did have a couple kids that did leave to go play golf somewhere. Actually, Emerson did. And we did have practice a couple days that week back in the dome. And we were able to get outside the following week, and we did actually the Monday when we came back from spring break, we spent in the simulator at Northfield Golf Club. We rented that for a couple hours so the kids could actually hit some full shots. And then we did some putting indoors. We finally got outside where we could hit some more like 9 and 8 irons at the practice football field. And that got us through basically the first full week and a half of April. And then we were scheduled for a meet on the 10th, which we already postponed till the 18th. And the 10th, actually, Albert Lee's golf course was opened up. And I had convinced the John and Wanda Benjamin from Benjamin Bus. They donated the bus for us, and we went down to Wedgewood Cove in Albert Lee and got to play a practice round down there. So
nice.
that was nice, and that was on April 10th.
Well, now and then, so today's only the 6th. So did you just have to smash? Was it just the one meet that you had to postpone, or was there a bunch of them?
Well. We had to postpone the one for the 10th, which we played on the 18th. We were scheduled to go to Albert Lee on the 17th, and they got 3 or 4 inches of snow that morning, so we've postponed that one and haven't made it up yet. We did host Rochester Century on the 18th, and We actually played that one at Willinger's, and we beat them pretty handily. I don't remember what the scores were for that one, but I do have the following week we ended up going to, which would be the 24th, we went to Red Wing. We played Red Wing and Rochester John Marshall, and we beat both of them. We shot a 351 that day. I think Emerson had an 81. I think Karina Johnson, she was about 87, and everybody else was in the 90s. And then we had the first full conference meet, and that was on the 26th, I think it was, 27th, whatever last that Thursday was.
Yeah, that'd be the 27th, yep.
We did not play well. Emerson shot 83. Albert Lee won the event with a 351. I think we shot 376. It was not our best day, nowhere close. And then this past week, we Monday, we played in the Lakeville North Invitational. 15 teams. We finished fourth with a score of 348. Eastview won it. Lake City was second. Lakeville South was third, then us. And other teams from our conference was Owatonna and Albert Lee, and we beat both of them. Fairly handily, we beat both of them. In that event, we had Emerson shot an 81. Annika Johnson had an 85, which was her best score of the year so far. Karina had an 85. Marie had a 97. They were our four scores that counted. And then Danica had a 103, and Anna Jordan had a 104. And then we played, we hosted Owatonna. I'm just going to pull that one up. We hosted Owatonna and Rochester Mail on Thursday, and that one was at Northfield Golf Club. And I'm just trying to get to that one.
I was going to say, how'd you do against those guys on Thursday?
Actually, we played pretty well that day. And I'm just getting to the scores. Can we maybe go to a quick break, and then I'll be back with you, and I'll pull that up?
We could do a lot of different stuff, but unfortunately, here, let's see if I can do that. I'll take a quick break right here. We'll be right back with Mel Miller here in just a minute.
Okay. The Graphic Mailbox in the River Park Mall. Follow your mailing and printing needs. We can pack it up, ship it out, and get it down the road. Fabricate a sign or a banner. We work hard to know our products. We can find the books for you and set you up with everything you need. The Graphic Mailbox in the River Park Mall. Offering solutions for you.
There's nothing better than riding my bike and spending time outside. When knee pain started to get in the way, I knew it was time to find help. I did my research and chose the orthopedics team at Northfield Hospital and Clinics. I was impressed by their personalized care. They really took the time to listen to my concerns so I could make an informed decision. 3 months later, I couldn't be happier. My knee feels great and I'm back outside. I appreciate the extra care I got from the orthopedic team at Northfield Hospital and Clinics.
1KYMN. Good morning, everyone. Talking to Mel Miller on the phone. He is over there at Willinger's this morning. Head coach of the girls' golf team joins us this morning. So, Mel, did you find what you're looking for?
Yep, I did. Okay, so Thursday we hosted Owatonna and Rochester Mail. We shot a 346, which is actually our best score of the year. Owatonna had 371. Mail had a 397. Emerson shot 80 that day. And if you talk to Emerson, she said she didn't play well, but 80 is a pretty darn good score.
Sure it is.
Karina Johnson had an 82. Annika Johnson had 86. Marie Lebensky had a 98. And then our other two scores were Danica Sorum and with a 101 and Olivia Courtium, who had a 102. So that was a pretty good score for us that day.
Right. So now you got today, so there's no meet today or anything like that. When's the next one?
Well, we played yesterday, though, too.
Okay.
We got to play yesterday in the New Prague Invitational, and that was at the New Prague Golf Club. We actually played well enough that we won that event yesterday. There was a 9-team invitational. We shot a 347, and also Orinal shot a 347. So what happens in that case, then they go to the fifth score. So our fifth score, sophomore Anna Jordan, shot 95, and the fifth score for Orinal was 99. So we ended up winning the event.
Nice.
On tiebreaker. Emerson played really well. She had never played New Prague Golf Club before, and she shot a 77.
Wow. Nice.
Karina, yeah, that was really good. Karina Johnson had an 82. Marie Lebensky and Annika Johnson both had 94. And Olivia Cordham had 107. We've got a really busy week coming up this week. We play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. Wednesday, we host the Willinger's Invitational out here at Willinger's, 11-team event. We do have some of the top 10 teams in the state. Lakeville South is playing, Eastview's playing, Wyzetta's playing, East Ridge, all four of them.
So you got some big schools. You got some big schools coming in here.
Yeah, and then we do have the last year's state champion from Blaine, Catherine Van Aragon. She's playing with the Blaine team. She actually shot last year at Willinger 67.
Whoa.
Here. Yeah, she's a player.
That's no easy task for any golfer out there at Willinger's.
No, it isn't. So I expect to be some. No, I'm expecting Catherine will be under par again if the weather's good.
Sure.
And then on Thursday, we're at Northfield Golf Club, and we're hosting Faribault and Winona. And we should do well at that one again. I would expect us that we'd win that one. And then on Friday, we play in the Dakota County High School event, which Rosemount hosts. So if any of your high school area is within Dakota County, which Northfield is, so we get invited to that event. And you'll have Lakeville South and Eastview, Rosemount, Farmington. There's some pretty big-sized schools in there. Apple Valley will play in there. So there are some good schools in that one, too, big schools.
Which is kind of good, I think, because it kind of, you know, you now go up against some of these more likely state contenders too. So this kind of gives you an idea of kind of the competition you're up against.
Yeah, and who we get to see, and that's good. It really does help us playing tougher competition.
Well,
and then I know we have some events coming up the following week. We're basically playing three times a week the next couple weeks.
Well,
we go to Mankato on the 15th of May, and we're playing Austin, Mankato, East and West. And then that Friday the 19th, we go to Bunker Hills, and we're playing in they have an 18-team invitational at Bunker Hills, which is a two-day event. So Friday and Saturday, and so we're going to play in that one. So that'll give the girls a chance to see where the state tournament's at and get a chance for us to play there. Three of the kids played there last year because we played in that event, and we got invited back this year. So
very nice.
Yeah, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, that's a lot of golf, but then again, that's a lot of fun. Golf's fun.
Very short season, and you try to pack. You know, we're packing 14 events basically this year into
less than 3 weeks.
5 weeks.
Yeah, that's a lot of golfing.
Yeah.
Oh, I envy you guys. All right. Well, Mel, thanks for joining us this morning. I know you got to get that counter going and get some people in there through the front door. So we appreciate you joining us this morning.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You bet.
We'll talk to you next week.
Mel Miller, head coach of the girls golf team, joins us here this morning. We still got more to come. We're running a little bit long today, but hey, we got plenty of stuff ahead of us. We got Luke Radetzky coming up and Liz Campbell with the scoreboard. You're listening to the Raider Wrap on 95.1 The One KYMN.
Remember that special teacher who took the time to work with you one-on-one after school, helping you finally pass that difficult subject? Well, it's like that with the mortgage lenders at Merchants Bank when you're buying a new home. Let's face it, home buying is unfamiliar and can be overwhelming. Merchants lenders know this. So, like their special students, they'll help you understand different financing options and weigh the pros and cons of each. In the end, your passing grade will be the financing that fits you and a house that you'll be happy to call home. Merchants Bank, equal housing lender, loan subject to approval.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bruss, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
And we're back at the Raider Wrap. A 40% chance of some showers this afternoon. High of about 67. Tonight, showers, 80% chance. Half an inch of rain is possible. Cooling off to around 56 for tonight. Tomorrow, slight chance of some showers or thunderstorms throughout the day into the afternoon. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high of 75. We've got overcast skies and 57 currently in the Northfield area. It is time for the Raider Scoreboard right here on AM 1080 and 95.1, the one, KYMN. Liz Campbell with the scoreboard.
Good morning, everyone. I am freshman Liz Campbell, and this is this week's Raider scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap. Girls golf had games on Monday along with boys golf. The boys team had a triangular on Tuesday in Owatonna, with the girls competing here at home later in the week on Thursday. The girls played yet again last night in New Prague. Boys tennis had matches on Monday in Faribault, and again on Tuesday versus Mankato West here at home. Thursday was another competition day for the tennis team as they traveled to Owatonna. They competed here at home last night, facing off against Lakeville South. Girls lacrosse had a game against Rochester John Marshall on Monday here at home, winning 11-7. They played again later in the week on Thursday, facing off against Rochester Century here at home, losing 7-17. Boys baseball had a game at home on Tuesday against Rochester John Marshall, winning the game with a final score of 9-3. They competed again at home against Winona on Thursday, winning yet again with a score of 9-2. Track and field had a triangular meet on Tuesday at Rochester Mayo. Highlights from the meet on the boys' side include the 4x100-meter winning, Kamarian Grant winning the high jump, and overall as a team getting second, only a few points behind Mankato East. On the girls' side, Addison Enfield getting second in the mile and PRing, and the 4x400 getting second. Softball had a game against Rochester John Marshall on Tuesday here on the home field, winning 12-2 with Lindsay Stanton leading the Raiders with 3 runs. On Thursday, they played against Winona, losing a close game of 1-2. They played again last night at home against New Prague, winning 4-3. Boys lacrosse had a game just last night in Rochester against Century. That will be all for this week's Raider scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap. Again, I am your host, Liz Campbell, and you are listening to KYMN 95.1, The One. Thanks for tuning in.
Every day, each and every one of us at Benjamin Bus feels privileged to safely transport Northfield students to and from school and many after-school activities. We thank you for trusting Benjamin Bus with your most precious cargo, your children. At Benjamin Bus, safety is always our number one priority. Our team of drivers has over 400 years of combined experience, and they pride themselves on their record of keeping the children of this community safe. For shuttle services, events, or any of your transportation needs, contact Benjamin Bus and Northfield Lines, your trusted friend on the road.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
And welcome back to the Raider Rap right here on KYMN. The Troubadours in concert with special guest Malin Fritz Wolrod Sunday, May 21st, St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Northfield. Free admission, internationally acclaimed opera singer, Northfield native and St. Olaf graduate, performing their Norwegian music from Grieg, music from the Carmen and more. That's coming up on Sunday, May 21st at 3 o'clock. Free admission at St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Northfield. That's on the 21st. Let's kick it back over to Meet the Raider.
Hello and good morning. Welcome back to Meet the Raider, the number one youth-led Northfield sports radio show, hosted by yours truly, Liz Campbell.
And Evan Lowe. Today we'll be talking with the Hucks, Northfield's ultimate Frisbee team, with senior captain Luke Rudetsky. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You're really flexible with us because right now it's our seventh hour. Could you talk about why you're able to come in here today?
Yeah, so this year I've been doing full-time PSCO up at the U. So those classes ended like a week ago, so I've just been able to just go about my day as I would in the summer, but like a whole month early. So that's why I can come in at this time.
Yeah, and for our listeners who don't know, what is PSCO?
So PSCO is post-secondary enrollment options, and basically as a high school student, you can take college classes for college credit and high school credit at the same time. But it also allows like flexibility in your schedule as a high school student. If you're doing even part-time, it means that you can take like an hour out of your day at the high school. So it just kind of, I guess, opens up a lot of scheduling opportunities for yourself.
Yeah.
A lot more freedom.
And Luke, now you're done with college up at the U. How would you say finals went? And was it challenging? Do you think it was more challenging than high school?
The finals part was certainly more challenging. Scheduling reasons, it was like a lot better and everything. It's kind of like spaced out more. I guess as a PSCO student, you have fewer classes at the U. So that's really nice, but it's just a matter of like studying a lot because it's more content dense and everything. But I'd say I would suggest it to like anyone that's looking for just more freedom, like your junior or senior year.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're very familiar with like AP classes and AP tests at the end of the year. Would you say the finals were kind of similar to like an AP test of taking content from the entire year, or was it like completely different?
I'd say AP exams are more cumulative. It's like the entire year, whereas for my classes, it's like a semester, and it just leans more towards like the end of year learning and everything. I would say that it's more like applicable information that you're using, because AP is just for like, it's a nationalized exam, whereas when you're taking finals at like a college level, it's more just like what you learned specifically in that class, like you and 45 other people. So,
thank you, Luke.
And being a senior this year, do you have any post-high school plans yet?
I do. This at the end of the summer, I'm heading off to Kyrgyzstan for I'm taking a gap year to study Russian. So I'm going with a student group. I managed to get a critical language scholarship, so it means that I will be going with some other students who, I guess, have similar plans as me in terms of language learning and everything. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. It's just like a cultural language experience. So,
yeah, Luke, what kind of led you to make that decision?
I guess for my future plans and everything, I plan to study Arabic and economics in college, but it's more just on the heavy side of like languages and cultural learning. So the whole like Russian language and everything is just kind of on my horizon. I plan to like work in the region and everything in my future. And so this is kind of like a perfect experience for what I see in my future.
And you're here today to talk about Ultimate Frisbee. Do you plan on continuing to play Ultimate in the future?
I hope to. I guess my best hope is that I can play a bit when I'm abroad and everything next year. But then I guess looking more at like intramural stuff and all that in college, not necessarily like a real team to play with. But over the past like 5 years, I've had fun playing Ultimate Frisbee and just the whole community feel of it. So I definitely see some sort of continuation.
Yeah, and where are you going to college, Luke?
I'm going to American University out in D.C.
Fun, yeah. And Kyrgyzstan, where is that? I'm terrible at geography. Is that like Middle East?
It's Central Asia. So to the north, it's bordered by Kazakhstan. To the east, it's bordered by China. and then to the south, Tajikistan. So it's kind of like Central Asia.
Do you have any idea what to expect? Are you just kind of going in there blindfolded? Totally different from America. Is there any, do you have any plan on what to expect when you get there?
Yeah, actually, so my family has like a couple friends that, one of which has been in and out of the region for his work and everything, and then another contact who is currently working in the embassy at Kazakhstan. So I've gotten like some insight in terms of the whole everyday life there, just what the people are like and everything. And it's apparently it's a really friendly environment. And even though it's like very, very different culturally and everything, it's for sure something that I see myself enjoying. So,
yeah. Luke, is Ultimate Frisbee something that's already taking place over there, or is that something that you'll have to bring with you?
I'm going to have to bring it with me for sure.
That'll be interesting. I wonder if they have as good of hand-eye coordination as the Hucks do here in Northfield.
Probably not. The Hucks Hucks are pretty top tier, so.
Hucks worldwide.
Yeah.
And if you're just tuning in to the Raider Wrap, we are meeting with Hucks Ultimate Frisbee captain, Luke Radetzky.
And so, Luke, you just had a Ultimate Frisbee game yesterday up in St. Paul. How did that go?
It went pretty well. It was, I mean, first off, we're going into it with a private school. They have, I guess, a lot more resources at their disposal because we're just a club team and everything. And like all our funding actually this year came from Northfield Youth Bank. Big shout out to Northfield Youth Bank for providing the money for our jerseys and our discs and everything. You know, we don't really have a lot to work with on top of the fact that we graduated like 15 seniors last year. And you need 7 people to play Ultimate, but we had like 6 people going into the season with returners. And so we had a draft, or I guess we had to pick up a lot of different like seniors, juniors, and even a couple of freshmen onto our team this year. So it's been a huge like team building experience. So I'd say from the standpoint of how we did yesterday in our game against like such an experienced and I guess higher level team, it went pretty well. So,
and is the team more diverse in terms of age this year compared to last year?
It's a lot more diverse. So we had last year we had like 12 to 15 seniors, and I was one of 3 juniors, with the other 2 juniors being the 2 of this year's captains, Sam Nelson, Isaac Lear. So, and then besides them, it was like a couple other sophomores, I believe. So it was not very diverse last year in terms of age, but we've got several freshmen this year, some sophomores, and then I guess we got a couple new seniors this year. But in terms of team building, there's certainly enough to have a team next year, whereas last year we were looking at possibly not having a team because of just numbers and everything.
Luke, you talked about competing against a private school and then having that be like such a big deal at their school. And in Northfield, Ultimate Frisbee is an MSHSL sport, so it isn't included with the high school. How do you guys do all the logistics with Ultimate Frisbee, with like the games, the scheduling, and finding the other teams across the state?
Yeah, so that's all done through Minnesota Ultimate, which I believe is private. I don't think that's run through like the schools, where we do play against some teams that are like directly affiliated with their school, but we, the Hucks are just a club and everything, but the whole Minnesota Ultimate does all the scheduling for us, like finding teams and everything. But from a standpoint of just our team running ourselves, it's just like a Monday through Friday practice schedule. And then Thursdays are our games, and that's, like I said, just all scheduled through Minnesota Ultimate.
Yeah, and as captains, did you guys have to seek out Minnesota Ultimate, or is that something that was done in the past?
I think that was done in the past, you know, a long time ago when the team was first made, because when I came into Ultimate, you know, some years back, it was already like where you sign up through Minnesota Ultimate and everything, and games are figured out through that. So it wasn't like a thing that we did this year. It was kind of when the team was created.
And as a captain, what are some of your other roles?
Besides just, you know, being like the voice of your team in games and everything to other teams, it's mainly, I guess, the role of leading your team and making sure that, I guess, morale is up and everything, and making sure that it's a safe environment. Because, again, it's a club team, and it's not, I guess there's no like higher authority to go to when there are problems and everything. So it stops at the captains and the coaches in terms of dealing with issues on the team and everything. So it's mainly like captains are kind of the like law of the land in terms of trying to keep things in order and make sure that everyone's being respectful. So,
and who are your guys' coaches?
We have, so there's Rex Nystrom, or Brent Nystrom's his name, but we call him Rex. he's been coaching the team since like before I joined and everything. But this year we just got a new coach who is a recent graduate from Luther. His name is Jacob. He's been really great because he comes out of like, you know, D1 Ultimate. He really knows the sport a lot. He does a great job leading the team and everything, getting on our level. And I guess even being patient with, you know, more than half the team didn't even know the rules of the sport, didn't even know like basic formations or anything. And now we're looking, I mean, we lost our first two, won our second two, and we've just been kind of on the up and everything. So we actually stood our ground, I'd say, fairly well against, you know, St. Paul Academy, like a private school and everything. Jacob being a new coach and everything is really adapted to our environment and everything, really fit in.
Yeah, and Luke, do the coaches kind of run the practices and all that, or do you as captains do any planning for practices or have any authority with that?
So in terms of actually planning the practices, it's mostly just the coaches. But, you know, when they have to leave for whatever or anything, it's, you know, the captains will be running the drills and, I guess, the rest of practice and everything, so.
And since you guys aren't technically a school sport, how do you guys get to and from different games?
Yeah, so that's a little bit of a challenge for us, and it has been for, you know, the years that we've been playing. It's like a carpool thing, having, like, the juniors and seniors driving, everyone packing into a car and driving up there. But part of that's been made possible, again, by Youth Bank. Big shout out, because we are able to, I guess, work around the whole expenses of gas and everything when you're driving to a place right, like Red Wing, or when you're driving to South St. Paul again.
Yeah, and when I think of Ultimate Frisbee, it seems kind of like an oasis for people just to have fun. What would you say makes Ultimate Frisbee so fun?
One thing that makes Ultimate really fun is, I mean, it was kind of founded on the whole idea of just like being community sport. Every single game, not even just with the Hucks, but every team has like a spirit circle at the end. And so every game ends with, you know, you stand next to, like, shoulder to shoulder with somebody from the other team, and the captains kind of give a rundown of how the game went, and captains hand out like spirit awards to whoever they saw really like working their butt off and everything on the other team. And so that's like a huge thing. But also the game, there's not actual refs. It's all enforced by the team players. So like I call the fouls that are fouled against me, and then I just trust that the other team is going to be able to work with me on that and just be respectful. And then they'll call fouls on me and everything. So it's just a really, it's mostly about like trust and honesty and everything. Like it gets competitive and everything, but it's also really community oriented. So it's a really fun sport.
Yeah, Luke, that's really cool. I honestly, like, that system seems like it could get a little biased and it could get a little messed up at sometimes. But if it's been working the past couple of years, I guess it should keep on going. But I feel like that could go really wrong. Has it in the past, or has anything ever happened that you're like, I wish we had a ref here?
Yeah, so that's the thing is, you know, most of the teams we play against, really friendly and everything. It's really good competition. You have, at the end, you submit the score to the website, Minnesota Ultimate. You submit the score, but then also you rate the other team for their spirit. And so most of the teams in Minnesota Ultimate that we play against are all like 5 out of 5 for spirit, and it's a lot of fun playing against them. But once in a while you run into a team, and it's like last year we had to play against Edina once, who's, I mean, Edina was, they were ranked 5th in the nation. So they're like one of the best teams for high school. Really good. But when you get to that level, it's just, it's too competitive, and they start calling, you know, more fouls than they should and everything. But when it comes to just regular scheduled games, it's a lot of fun because at the end of the day, we're just, everyone's out there to have fun, and it can get competitive on the field, but it always ends in a spirit circle. Everyone's congratulating each other and everything. So 95% of the time, it's a really good environment.
And what would you say has been your favorite memory, whether it be from the season or past seasons?
Games overall. Like, there's not a specific moment. Just games are always so fun because, you know, I mean, I played soccer for a number of years, and soccer can get really heated and everything. And there are officials for that sport and all that. But it's, I guess I've never been in a sport where there's the same community as there is in Ultimate. And so everyone's really friendly with each other. You know, even like on the field when I'm gassed and everything, I'm chasing after my opponent. Like, we're always talking on the field, you know, just like chatting back and forth. It's a lot of fun. So just like meeting people in games and I guess being friendly and everything is the best part.
Yeah. And kind of going back to like the game situation, talking with people and the spirit awards. I'm just curious. Have you guys ever been like rated really low on the spirit, or have you guys ever rated another team really low on the spirit?
I believe that we've rated other teams low on the spirit before, such as Edina, just because you know, sometimes they're just, I mean, not even just to us, but even to their own teammates, they'll get, like, really feisty and everything and just, like, shout at each other. And that's just no fun, even if, like, it's one thing to be angry at the opponent, but being angry at, like, your own teammates can get really a lot of toxicity on the field. The Hucks, like, historically have rated pretty high on the Spirit Award, or the Spirit scale and everything, so.
Is there a consequence, Luke? Like, if a team has a really low Spirit score, is there, like, a suspension or anything like that?
Unfortunately, there is not, no.
So then what's the point?
It's just
when you
just
look up their name, does it, like, show, like, how many stars they're rated out of 5 overall, like, averaged?
Yeah, it shows, like, their record, and then it shows, like, a number with a heart next to it. So, like, it's mostly just a thing of, like, because ultimately, like, even on the professional level, they end with, like, Spirit Circle. So it's just, like, you know, it helps you look forward to, like, who you're playing and stuff like that. But also, like I said, it's kind of a mark of shame for certain teams. But I guess it's a kind of fun thing to add besides just, like, entering in the points and the score. Mm-hmm. And then just saying, like, we liked playing this team a lot. So.
And you talked about last year, you had a really good team. You had a bunch of upperclassmen that kind of carried the team a little bit. This year, all those upperclassmen left. A whole bunch of new kids joined. How has the change of players affected the team, and what have you done in practices to kind of work with them and to bring up all your guys' skills?
First, we were doing just captains' practices, and, you know, just the three of us captains, it was, like, a little tough to kind of, I guess, mentor, you know, 20-something people who don't even know the game at all. That was really tough. But after that, you know, when the coaches came in, they did a great job of introducing the team to, like, just tactics and just game rules and everything. And even though the first two games were a little bit rough trying to work through it and everything, it was a little bit painful with that, you know, people trying to watch the game. And Ultimate's a really fast-paced game when you get going. And so it's a little tough not knowing the game at all to just watch it and try and get to know it and everything. But we won our third game, which was a better team than the first two teams we played. We played Lakeville North Varsity, who's historically been really good. Went almost undefeated last year. They were, like, the one team that beat us pretty much. Beating them was a huge thing, and I guess a big show of our talent that we built up. I'd say, like, everyone we brought in, they all have athletic backgrounds, and so that helped just having that behind them. Yeah. You know, as they learn the concepts of the game and everything. So,
and Luke, are there any, like, specific things, like, are there any specific things that you are currently working on in practices, like any certain parts of your game that you guys have been struggling on but that you guys are starting to build up?
I'd say to begin with, it was just learning the actual game structure, and recently it's just more things like how to throw in the wind, which is pretty tough to get down, and things like, I guess, complex concepts. But I guess today it rained earlier, so the ground's, like, really soft and wet, and so we're going to try some laying out, you know, diving for the disc and everything just for fun. But in terms of actual game concepts, like, the main stuff that you really need to know to play Ultimate, we pretty much got down in, like, a week, which was really impressive because people learned really quick. People who have never played the game before or even watched a game of Ultimate. I'd say for the most part, we have, like, the big stuff down.
Well, best of luck on the rest of your season, Luke.
Thank you.
If you missed part of this interview live or want to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net, and tap on the sports header. This was Meet the Raider on the Raider Wrap with your host, Liz Campbell.
And Evan Lowe. Keep tuning in this week for more sports on KYMN 95.1, The One.
And that's a wrap. Jimmy LaRue bidding you adieu for another Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. In case you missed it, like you said, go to kymnradio.net. Go to programs, select the Raider Wrap, and then pick out today's date. And you can listen back to Janet Smith, head coach of the girls track team, an outstanding performance by her this morning. And Jeff Wright from the boys lacrosse team joins us, along with Mel Miller, girls head coach of the girls golf team, as he gets us all up to date on what's happening with the Raider golf team. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next week right here on AM 1080 and 95.1, The One, KYMN. Have a great day.
Save big money on your next project with 11% off everything at Menards.